think when I opened for Morgan, I had like 40 minutes or something like that. And it was not long enough. Like, I wanted to keep going because the crowd was into it. Nice. You know, like when I 40 minutes, it takes me 40 minutes to get warmed up.
Je luistert naar Country Chords, een podcast waarin je wordt blootgesteld aan een grote hoeveelheid liefde voor country muziek. Maar pas op, Country Chords is zeer besmettelijk. Hier zijn je gastheren Tom Meijers en Floris van der Woude.
Squeezing into the dressing room of Larry Flay.
I don't even know if this is a dressing room. This is a.
It's a room.
Xander, it's a room. Said this is his guitar room. So.
Welcome to Country Chords. We are
Floris van der Woude
and Tom Meijers, and today we're having a conversation with a very special guest, all the way from Nashville, Tennessee. He's somewhere in the south of the Netherlands, The Hague it is, and we're very pleased to have him, Larry Fleet.
Yeah, hey.
Thank you so much.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to my room.
Yeah, it's a,
we just called it the room.
Nice. And you can touch both walls. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, yeah.
You know,
it's
a closet. You know that Chris Stapleton album is called From A Room?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he meant. This is maybe...
This is a room.
A room, yeah.
Yeah. Next door is volume two, I guess.
Yeah. Coat closet, we might call it, yeah.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah.
Got some sleep last night.
That's good.
Yeah. I needed it. It was.
Is the traveling is hard on you? The touring or?
Yeah. Last year was really good. We have a day off in between most of the time, but we got a bus this year, and we did last year. We had a great driver and we slept great. It was everything, but this year, not so much. Oh. So
kind of a rough driver.
Yeah. So it was hard to sleep. And so I kind of got hotels, and then everybody would get here and get it, you know, get things going, and then I'd kind of try to sleep and come. So that's kind of what happened today. So,
yeah.
It's been fun, though.
It's the second time in the Netherlands, right?
Yeah.
Well, where were you coming from before The Hague?
Dublin.
Dublin. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Ireland.
Yeah. So you were on the boat also?
Well,
you took a plane. Ah, oh, better. Yeah. That's better. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. How do you like the Netherlands?
I love it. I actually love everything over here. The way they've kind of accepted us in has been really cool. I wasn't expecting that. I had no idea how today was going to go, but I see it sold out and seems to be going good. But everybody's been really nice to us, and it's clean and it's beautiful.
Every American says that. Clean roads, everything
clean
is clean.
Roads, yeah. Which, I mean, you know, there's different places that are dirty, too, that we go. But it's like back home, like if you go to New York City, it's and even Nashville. Yeah. Nashville's gotten bad. But out in the country, which is kind of where we're at, we still take pride in picking up the trash.
Yeah, exactly.
So, that's one thing you notice is people say, well, you can drink the water here. You know?
Yeah.
Like, okay,
you can drink
cool.
tap water, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. That's great, you know. But, everybody's been super nice and it's pretty and the weather's been great. Like, back home, it's been, I guess y'all do Celsius
here. Yeah, Celsius.
So, what, 37 degrees Celsius? Oh. So, it's like 100 degrees
back home. So.
But also in more southern parts of Texas, I think there were floodings and heavy rains and stuff going on.
It was in July.
Right? We've had a lot of weather. Uh-huh. And it's just sort of been all over the place. I mean, it's like one minute we went up to Montana before I came and it was getting kind of chilly and cool and felt really nice. And then you go back home, it's a 37. It's just all over the place and floods and we've had, you know, storms and tornadoes. It's just been a wild year. But
we'll
be here.
That's very good. Yeah. We're very happy to have you. We'll start you off with some Country Chords brain crackers to get you all warmed up.
Brain for this. Crackers?
Yeah, it's brain crackers.
Some dilemmas for
it's
you.
A couple of dilemmas and you have to pick either one. Nashville or White Bluff?
White Bluff. Yeah. And you want me to elaborate on it? Or is
yeah,
it,
yeah, okay. yeah, yeah.
Sure. I'm more of a country guy, you know. So I grew up around Nashville and it was a great place to grow up. Now, a lot of people have came into it and it's grown tremendously. So I'm just not into big cities. I'd rather kind of get outside. And that's kind of like when I was in Dublin a few days ago. I was like, okay, I've seen the city and it's nice, but I want to go see something else. So I went to a horse farm outside of town.
Nice. That's cool.
We have horses and stuff, and it's just – I just want to see how the people outside the city do it. And they're a lot like us. So everywhere you go, everybody's very similar.
Yeah.
So,
the difference between me and him, because he's from the big city and I'm from a little farmer's town.
So
that's good.
No, but that's me. I like the city. I think it's cool. I like the architecture and old buildings and stuff. But I like being outside of that for...
Nice. I can handle peace the city and quiet about a day.
Same here.
Nice. Merle Haggard or Willie Nelson?
Oh. I don't know if you can have one or the other. It's they're two totally different. Like, Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard, both huge inspirations for me on songwriting and just style. But I first heard Willie Nelson, Redheaded Stranger, things like that, and I was like, okay, this makes me want to write songs. But then I heard, pretty much everything that Merle Haggard did, and I was like, I get that he's the working man,
exactly.
For the working man. So I can't pick one.
Do you resonate more with Merle than with Willie?
Probably.
Like, personal?
Probably so.
Yeah.
Willie, I love him. He's been nice to me, and I've got to play with him and stuff. And
you went on tour with him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I played a lot of shows with him.
Yeah, that's cool.
And just super nice guy, just what you would hope he would be like. And then I never got to meet Merle, but, we as country people and just hardworking people, we all listen to Merle Haggard.
Yeah.
So I kind of relate it more to his stuff than probably Willie, but it's hard to pick either one.
I bet. Yeah. But did you, talk to Willie about Merle, how he was?
No,
not that.
We never really did. We just kind of, it was, at this point, he's older, he's a legend, and he comes in, he plays, and we would talk a little bit, but not really getting down to old stories and
stuff. I bet.
Which,
is it something you aspire, because he's like 92, just got 92, still playing when you're 92, you hope.
I saw him on this picnic in Austin, last July. It's awesome, amazing, to see him still on stage and doing his thing, and his voice is still so good.
Well, he said he wants to die on the stage.
He wants to go full Tommy Cooper, the comedian, right?
Yeah. And that's, I wouldn't, I mean, that's a good way to go.
Yeah, I bet.
For me, I would love to play until however old I get, like, he's to make it to 92 and still play, man, what an accomplishment, It's pretty cool just to go to a show, like, whether you like his music or not, it's just kind of cool to see him, because he's Willie Nelson.
Yeah. And, it's like a living legend.
Board. It is a legend. Yeah,
it's an experience to see him just doing his thing.
Yeah.
It's crazy. A song or a poem?
A song for me. I started writing poetry as a kid.
But why we ask him.
Yeah, but I think they're so much the same. But I like music so much that is a song is poetry with music. So
exactly.
They're kind of the same, but... I would like to sing something, So
cool.
But as long as it makes you feel something, it's all about the same.
So. Nice. Country music or bluegrass? Because you started off in a bluegrass duo, right?
Mm-hmm. I would say, I don't know. It depends on what mood I'm in. But sometimes I just listen to bluegrass for weeks and that's it. And then.
What do you listen to then, for example?
I try to listen to new stuff that has come out, but I listen to Ralph Stanley but I listen to Steel Drivers too.
Oh, great! Yeah,
they're one of the best ones to come and do it recently. But there's quite a few that are coming up, and then other people that have a style of bluegrass, and I'll kind of like Tyler Childers has bluegrass in him too.
Sturgill brought out like the remake of his album, but Cut in the Grass, right?
And a lot of those guys, they'll have. Even some of the Texas guys will have a little bit of an influence of it, and I'll listen to some of them. But I probably relate more to country music just from storytelling.
Yeah.
That's what I write mostly. I write bluegrass here and there, but majority of what I do is country music. And so that's kind of – country music probably.
For our listeners and viewers, it's good to know that we are at Once in a Blue Moon Festival in The Hague, and we are sitting in a room, as we told in the intro, they are doing sound checks.
Yeah,
that's what you hear in the background.
So if you hear something in the back, that's just
Or if you hear somebody laughing, that's my drummer. He's very loud.
He's a loud laugher.
He's a very loud, like if you go to the airport, we're like, where's Cam? And He's over there, a mile away. You know, like you can hear him. So nice. Our guys are loud. Everybody's halfway deaf. Music their whole life, so they're loud. Nice.
Final brain cracker: Morgan Wallen or Jake Owen?
Oh man,
heavy hitters. Yeah, Jordan Davis called them.
Jake helped me get going, and he's been a good friend. But so is Morgan. Like Jake helped me get started, and then Morgan helped really boost my career big time going out on the road with him, and especially coming over here. I opened for him direct support last year, and I came to London with him the year before, and he just kind of advanced my career, especially over in Europe. Mm-hmm. Both of them helped me. It's hard to say whichever one, but I love both of them's music too.
Yeah.
As people and also a fan of their music.
So. Nice. Yeah. I think it's for me, it was Morgan Wallen. I was on YouTube, and then I found that video where you do Where I Find God together with Morgan Wallen.
In Ziggo Dome. We posted it.
Was that in Amsterdam?
We posted it on our Instagram as well.
That's where I found you.
A lot of people found that, and that's kind of how it got started, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Because we were out on the Dangerous Tour in 22. Morgan called and asked me to go on it with him, so I was like, sure. Had no idea, because a couple of years before that, we were friends, and it was like he was playing stuff that I'm playing, and it's like all of a sudden I had no idea that he had gotten that big, and so I knew that people were onto his stuff, and he was doing well. But then, like our first show that we played was Madison Square Garden, and we did two nights there. So I was like, "What happened? where did this come from?" But we're out, and he's like, "Let's do a song together." I was like, cool, some old cover or something. He's like, yeah, you just pick. I said, okay. And I got back and I threw around a couple old songs. And he was like, let's do Where I Find God. I was like,
yeah.
All right, you know it. He's like, oh, I know it. And so we walked out, and the first night we ever did it was Madison Square Garden, and people went nuts, and he nailed it. Like, it was, we didn't even work it up.
Yeah.
It was just.
Because in the end, there's this part, and then there's. I do that a lot. That part. He just came up with that on the spot, or you practiced it before?
It would come up on the spot.
And that's just
cool.
Because we walked into the dressing room before he went on. He was like, what key, we literally sang it once just to make sure he knew the words. He's like, I know it. I got it. And then, it wasn't like we rehearsed it. No, they just walked out and did it.
Great.
That's what it turned into.
It was a magical moment. We saw the video and we were like, holy shit, what was that? And did you expect, because you played the Ziggo Dome, it's the biggest stage, I guess, in the Netherlands for music venues. Did you expect the country crowd here to be that big?
No. I didn't know. I'd never been, so I didn't know what to expect. But I was blown away. And even coming back this time on my own, people knew every word, every song. They showed up early, hours ahead of time. They were buying up all the merch. It was just it was madness. And so I was telling my wife, I was like, I don't believe, this is nuts. You know? And then I'm coming over today. They're like, hey, it sold out tonight. I was like, are you kidding me? I had no idea. I was hoping a few people show up. But I've been blown away with the I don't know, people just being so appreciative of what we're doing, but they're really into it.
Yeah.
And it seems to be kind of taken off. Some people I talked to in, London or somewhere, they were like, yeah, probably in the past 18 months, it's country music's really blown up. And I was like, well, I'm glad to be coming over at this time.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah. But I think especially UK, it was already they were huge country fans, I think. Then the Netherlands follows, maybe Germany, Ireland.
Germany has a big country scene as well. Yeah.
But you notice that as well, that it's growing in Europe. Yeah.
And that's why some of the venues we've picked, we sold them out. And people are like, you need to be in an arena. And I'm like, I had no idea. I don't know. I was hoping, I didn't know if I could sell 5 tickets or 5,000. I had no idea. So we just picked a couple of mid-sized venues to play. Yeah. And then we show up and they're sold out. And we're like, well, maybe we can do something bigger. Who knows? But so I'll come back next year. We'll do it again. And,
nice.
So we're just kind of taking our time with it. We're learning because I know where I'm at, kind of where I stand in the States. you know, different regions, I can sell thousands and thousands of tickets. And then other regions I go and I can sell 1,000.
Oh, yeah. Really?
800. Yeah. It's like, it's weird. Like,
how does it
Just depend on
happens.
Like certain regions are just
like the South is more country minded, maybe, or
you would think, and it is, but it's also sort of, well, depends on how much money people have, you know, around there. Like certain states are a little more, have more money than others, you know.
Yeah. And tickets have gotten more expensive over time, right?
So yeah, and they're killing us with taxes and different things. Yeah. It's like, so you can buy a ticket for $50 and then it'll cost you $100 by the time they tack on all the stuff. So it makes it tough for people to come out. But we've, you know, some places we'll go. If I go to Iowa, we literally went to a town that had like 1,600 people in the capacity and I sold 1,600 tickets.
Oh, like, that's so awesome.
But then we'll go to another place that'll be huge and we'll sell 800.
Yeah.
Like, or you'll go to another place and we'll sell 3,000 or 4,000. Like, you never know. It's just different every place. And it's kind of this way too, but we're just seeing that the demand for it.
Yeah.
People want, and then they like real storytelling country music. Yep. So
nice. Talking about that storytelling, because that's a big part of your music. You're coming from a blue collar background. You were, well, tough jobs, working hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it making roads, right?
Construction worker.
Right. Yeah. What was it that you were doing back then?
Well, I've done a little bit of everything, but I worked on a paving crew. So we, you know, we pave roads and parking lots and different things, whatever. That's a hot, hard job.
Yeah.
But I did that for a while and then.
And you were singing already when you were working?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And your colleagues were like, oh, that's Larry. He's always singing or.
Yeah, I was the bar guy. You know? I played a lot of bars and stuff. Yeah. And it was a good time. And people would come out and all my friends and everybody work hard. And then you go drink beer in the afternoon and I'd play songs.
Yeah.
And then
that's basically what country music is made for, right? For those guys and
started.
Relatable.
Yeah,
and yeah.
And that was back then, like when I first started, you had to play bars. There was no TikTok or anything.
No,
so
exactly.
It was like, you had to learn the old fashioned way and, you know, learn how to write songs and learn how to play for a crowd, a drunk crowd. And it was like, that was a different crowd, you know?
Yeah.
But so I would do that. I'd work during the day doing concrete work or, you know, asphalt or paving or whatever. And so I kind of did a lot of things. I worked with building houses and
like carpentry or
so anything construction, that's what I was into.
Yeah.
It's a lot like writing a song.
It's like until Jake Owen saw you on at a wedding and then everything got like you went to the musical path, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
I had early on had different songwriting deals and things, and none of it really ever took off. Even had like a little indie kind of record deal thing, and it wasn't enough money behind it. We just wasn't in the right spot. It wasn't the right time. And so I kind of just kept working and making money at the bars and stuff. And then when I was working for a concrete, working for a company, and we did a lot of things, but I was working mostly in the concrete world. And then I went to play a party one weekend, and that's where I met Jake Owen.
Yeah.
Just playing, and he walked in and watched me play for a while, and I was like, hey, you know, long story short, what's your story? And we talked, and he was like, so you're not playing music for a living? I was like, no. He's like, oh, I thought you had like a record deal or something. I was like, no, I'm just here. And he was like, this guy paid me $500, you know, so I'm coming to make some money. And he was like, well, you know, I think you should quit your job and really try to do music. And I was like, nah, like I tried. It didn't work. You know,
was that hard? Like to get into like full-time musician?
Yeah. Yeah. That was the brokest I've ever been in my life. Cause I went from singing other people's songs in bars, getting, you know, whatever, a few $100 or, you know, big nights, you'd make a little bit of money, $1,000 or something, which is good. And then I worked throughout the week.
It was like an extra, extra money.
It was nice.
Next to your job. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that went from, okay, now I'm going to play all my own stuff. And then I'm going to go play venues that nobody's going to come to. And so, yeah, Jake talked me into quitting my job and I went on the road with him for, you know, a short amount of time. And then he was like, all right, here you go. Here's some people you can write with and, you know, figure it out kind of thing. I'll help you if I can, but you got to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out and we started playing gigs and I got my bass player, my my guitar player, we sort of pieced together a little band because I'd always been by myself playing and this acoustic stuff. And so we show up and here is our little band. We're driving around in my truck and pulling a U-Haul trailer and trying to make it work. And it was tough, real tough for years. And even when I got a record deal, that was probably one of the brokest I've ever been, because you think you get a record deal and you're an instant millionaire.
Yeah.
And even when I had a song on the radio, like I was still struggling like hard. And then it sort of just all started coming together. But it took, I mean, probably 4 or 5 years after a record deal to really get profitable.
Yeah. So I actually, as a construction worker, you were more.
I made more money.
You made more money.
Yeah. More money. Yeah.
Yeah. Then after the deal got done.
Yeah.
All right. But I have still a question, because I was looking at the video clip of the song Earned It.
Yeah.
Where you go around, bring those guys like coolers. But are those guys, were they like former colleagues or were they? Because the story was so beautiful to me. It was like, he's going back to them and hugging them. And what's the story with
that
the video?
That was my foreman. And his name was Russell. And he was the one running the road grader. I went to the thing and I gave him the cooler and stuff because Orca had sent us a bunch of coolers for the video. And they're like, we can just give them away. I was like, no, I'm going to take them to my guys I used to work with. You know? They're going to love this. And so so I took them to everybody that I knew that I worked with on these job sites. And it was a cool thing. We got to showcase them doing their thing. And then the one guy wearing overalls with the bald head, that was my dad.
With the yellow shirt. And
That was my dad. He was at the concrete.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh,
cool. And so I just called him. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm making some mud. That's what they call it. I said, well, I'm going to swing by. He said, come on by. Had no idea I had a film crew with me. You know? And he was like, so you see him, he kind of comes out. He's like looking. He's like, and so he gets nervous in those kind of situations. But I was like, here's what we're doing. He was like, well, this is cool. And I give him the thing. And then another guy with the lawnmowers and stuff, just got to be friends with him at the local lawnmower place. And
oh, cool.
I was like, I'm going to swing by. He had no idea that I was doing it either. And so he just thought I was swinging by to say, hey, and then. But yeah, he'd give me a good discount on my lawn.
Oh, that's good.
So nice. Yeah. I was looking at the video and I was like, what's the story behind this? But that's a great story. Yeah.
All this just random guys I've worked with, and my dad, and people that I've just been friends with, and different line of work. And that's kind of what my music has been. It's not just for the concrete worker. Cause when I wrote Working Man, I remember that's what kind of really churned up stuff and it started moving the needle. People are like, oh, we love this song. So you would see like working class, like dudes that look like me. They were showing up and they would drag their wife to a show. And so there'd be like 40 or 50 people at these first few shows. And I'm like, okay. And they look like me and they love any Working Man song.
Yeah.
And then it just sort of so Working Man started everything off. And that kind of moved the needle. And then, but I had a buddy that was a plastic surgeon and when you know, a lot of money and stuff. And he was, you wouldn't think blue collar worker, but he was like, man, I work 12 hours a day on my feet, like rebuilding people's hands getting chopped off or whatever. He's like, I'm a working man. I was like, yeah. He's like, so I relate to the song. And I was like, well, so it's not just for the concrete guy. It's for the nurse or the doctor. It's for the guy at the gas station or whatever. Like it's literally a universal song for anybody and everybody.
Nice. If there are listeners or watchers of Country Course that doesn't know this song, Working Man by Larry Fleet, it's the perfect song. It's like, it's so heartfelt. It's like actually feeling rich without being rich, right?
Yeah.
Like appreciate all you have instead of.
Appreciation also. Yeah, that's a big part of it.
Appreciate all you have instead of like, the morning alarms, you know, it's early, you have. Your back hurts. I know, but you're having smiling faces at home. Yeah. Be happy, man. Yeah. I appreciate what you have. It's such a great song. You have to look it up if you don't know it, I bet.
Ain't it working, man.
And exactly.
It's just a simple song. And I try to write simple. And because a lot of people, as songwriters, and I've been guilty of it too, we'll say, man, we really songwriter that song up. And it's like, oh, it's so clever. We just, you know, we wrote real life poetry here, you know?
Exactly.
It just, nobody cares about that stuff. They want something that they understand.
Relatable.
That they can sing along to.
Yeah.
And that's, I try to make things that I try to have a hook when I write a song and I need it to be relatable and I need it to be simple because nobody wants to have to think about the song. Just say what you got to say.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how whenever it all started working, I was like, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I talk. This is how, you know, I don't talk in metaphors all exactly. the time. Like it's, I'm going to sing and write how I talk. And so, cause that's the way most people do. And even when we went to all these other places, all of you know, different countries and everything, working man is what people wait on because they relate to it. And it's like, I met people in Dublin and Belfast and London and everywhere. And I'll meet them after the show. And they're like, yeah, I you know, whatever they, I run equipment or I do concrete work or whatever it may be. They're all a bunch of working men all over and women. Now we have a bunch of women that show up the shows and they're glad to be there. Yeah. You know? So you kind of, we kind of built this really blue collar kind of thing. But it was an honest thing. And so it's relatable and it's simple. And I think that's what people gravitated towards. And you believe it when it comes from me because I've lived it.
Are you playing the song tonight? Is it always in your set list?
Pretty much, yeah. There's only been one or two times that I didn't do it. And people are like, what?
We paid for the ticket and you didn't play that
song. We didn't play Working Man. Like, and so, and I've also learned over here, because we'll try to rock. And it's like, here's this, like, my band is great. You know, so we're rocking, we're doing our stuff. But people really want to hear Working Man, Where I Find God, Things I Take for Granted, like, they want to hear Life Worth Living.
Quitting ain't working.
Well, Quentin ain't working now.
That's one of my favorites too.
That's always
too.
In there.
Yeah.
Because that's, I mean,
this expect just
I like that song. It was made in the USA. What is the name, the title of the song again? I forgot the title.
Lifetime Guarantee.
Exactly. Yeah, I like that song. That's a metaphor, like, actually. So yeah, I like that.
Do you see, like, Stack of Records as your
that was probably,
breakthrough album? Yeah.
Because we had Working Man. So I, before I had a record deal or anything, I had Working Man,
Die Young,
and Wasted Time.
Yeah.
And Wasted Time was the first song that me and Jake Owen ever wrote together. And so we had those three, and I just went and did them myself. And I was like, went to the studio and with my guys, and we just recorded those songs. And then Working Man, of course, was just me sitting with the guitar. And when I was just checking levels. Like, I didn't know we were even recording. I was just playing the song, and he recorded that, and he was like, I got it. And I was like, what? Oh, you mean to run it? He's like, no, I think we're good. And so that was like almost a demo. And we just put it out and it blew up. And
nice. That's crazy.
So that's kind of where it started. And then I had the Working Hard project. That was the first thing I did with Big Loud when I got the record deal. And then we were trying to, we didn't, I don't think the record label quite knew exactly what to do with me. Nobody really did. It was just, it was new. And
did you know yourself?
I knew who I was, and that was the biggest plus, because most artists that are getting record deals, especially nowadays, they don't know who they are. They're just like, it happened for them quick, or they covered a song, and all of a sudden that made them famous or whatever.
Because you, not to say you're old, not at all, but you were like maybe a little bit older when you started that path maybe than artists now.
Yeah, I was like early, like real early, like 31, something like that. And it was like... So, I mean, most people are kind of getting, they're blowing up at, you know, 24, 25, exactly. Something like that. And then it takes them 10 years to try to figure out who they are. And then by the time they've built their fan base and they're like, well, this is actually who I am. That's not who people know.
Because you already got a lot of just life experience under your belt, right?
Yeah. I've been living.
They don't know nothing right? When they're 20, when you're 21.
I've been living, you know? Yeah. And
so that was a big plus for you then.
And so I wrote like, you know, the first record I did with Big Loud was The Working Hard. It had 8 songs. I wrote 6 of the 8. And it was just about stuff that I knew. And also, I was trying to – they were like, we need, you know, the beer drinking kind of fast stuff. So I was writing what they needed me to write. But then there was a few that I'm like, hey, this is, like, Working Hard, like that song. Like, this is who I am. Yeah. Like this. So I always had that in there. And then when we got to Stack of Records, it was in 21, I'd had – my little boy, he was, you know, getting close to being like 2 years old.
Who is called Waylon, by the way.
He's Waylon.
Not Merle, not Willie, but Waylon.
Yeah. Waylon had attitude, you know? And so, and I love Waylon Jennings too. And and he knows that he is named after Waylon Jennings.
So, is he playing already or singing? Or,
he plays drums.
And he's acting like Waylon as well.
He writes songs. He's, cool. He just turned 6 years old.
Oh, nice. Like, cool.
He's already writing.
That's
stuff.
Nice.
My little girl is 4, and she's already writing and
Stella
singing.
Stella Rose?
Yeah, right? Blue. Yeah.
Stella Blue.
Yeah, yeah. which is an old Grateful Dead song.
Cool.
Grateful Dead, that's also a great band.
But yeah, they are. And I wasn't even a huge fan of them. I just thought that was a beautiful name.
Yeah.
And I love that. So that's my like favorite Grateful Dead song.
Yeah, nice. Blue,
so. You were talking about your little boy, and then we interrupted. So where were you heading?
So, yeah, by the time Stack of Records came, like we had my little boy in 2019. And so in 21 was whenever Stack of Records dropped. So when I started writing all these songs about where I was at in my life. So my goal with that record was I wanted to write every single song on it because that would make it me. And I did. And then that's where we had Where I Found God on there. We had A Life Worth Living, Three Chords and Lie. You had, just tons.
Quitting Ain't Working.
Yeah, Quitting Ain't Working. But like A Life Worth Living has been a big one for us. And so all of that was just where I was at. So we put that out and that's when it blew up because people are like, yes, this is that traditional country sound. And it was, but it was also very soulful and very singer-songwriter and Americana.
And honest.
It had folk stuff in it. It had bluegrass songs. Like there's a song called Highway Feet that me and Jamie Johnson wrote.
Yeah.
And it was on this last season of Yellowstone, the TV show. And so like that was something fun. I just wanted to do a bluegrass song. And so we wrote it. And then he sang on it and everything, which was really cool. So
it's good that you mentioned that song, Highway Feet, because we forgot something. We always get to know our guests through a Greyhound, we call it. It's a song that you put on while you're driving and you sing along. Yeah, Highway Feet is a perfect example. For me, it's Quitting Ain't Working as well, a very good driving song. It's a drinking song, but it's also a very good driving song. What is your Greyhound? What is a song that you put on while you're driving your truck down the Tennessee roads?
Well, if I'm going to go ride back roads, I listen to like Alabama, just any old Alabama song.
Song
like,
of the South?
Oh, yes. Song of the South.
I listened to that yesterday. That's actually
good. We were walking in high cotton. And like, and that kind of stuff is what I kind of grew up on. My parents used to listen to that a lot. And
they married on.
Yeah. They had a
close
song.
Close to Perfect?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Close Enough to Perfect was their wedding song. And so I used to hear that all the time. But yeah, Tennessee River and Dixieland Delight and all that stuff. Like it was a song in the South. Like it was Southern music. And so that's what I listened to a lot. And me and my wife, we still, one of our things we like to do is when the kids are in school or you know, whatever, we're just getting one of our old cars. Like I'm a car guy.
Yeah.
So
nice.
I just got a bunch of old cars. And
you got a car from your dad? I heard.
Yeah. A 67 Mustang.
Cool.
So, nice. Are you good working on them yourself as well? Or
some of the old ones,
yeah.
All the computer stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the old stuff, I mean, I can't rebuild a motor, but I can do brakes and I can change oil and I can get into spark plug. I mean, basic kind of stuff. Or
it's always ongoing work, right? Yeah. When you're driving, they're like, oh, shit. There's oil in there. Oh, mm-hmm. All right. And then you know you got some work to do.
I can figure things out, you know. Yeah. But one of our favorite things to do is... we actually have this little S10, a Chevy S10 truck.
Oh, cool.
And it was her granddad's truck, my wife's granddad's truck. So, and it's got Whiskey Dance all in it, and it's beat up, but like I put cool wheels on it. I've done cool stuff to it. And it's our favorite truck to drive. And so we'll get in this little truck, and we just go ride back roads and listen to music. And either in that or I actually met my wife because of this truck that I had when I had it in high school when I went to college. I didn't last very long in college. She did, but like... I made it a year. And so she had said, hey, check this out. Like, I found this truck in the parking lot and showed me a picture of my truck. And I was like, yeah, it's my truck. So, like, that's how we met was because of this truck. So
cool.
I still have it.
Oh, that's
it's
cool.
This really big jacked up truck with 40-inch tires and stuff. And so we'll get in that and we just go ride and we'll listen to demos of songs that I've written. And we'll be like, we should record this song. Or
because this story you're telling about the truck, that sounds like a perfect song to me. Or maybe you've written a song about it already. Or
I hadn't. Not necessarily. I've written a lot of songs that have a mention, you know, a truck or something like that in it. But as far, I need to probably write one about
this story. Yeah, about this story. It's a cool story.
But that's kind of how, that's what we do for fun. And so we'll listen to old country music and... But I listen to Teddy Swims. I listen to Adele. I love Norah Jones if I want to be like really calm, you know.
Yeah.
But then a lot of times she helps me pick what songs she likes that I've written. And so we'll listen to all these. Like I've written tons and tons of songs. So I'll go through. I'm like, hey, I want to go record some songs. Like, when you pick 12.
She's the judge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she has a good air, like, yeah. You picked the right one because that was a hit song on the radio, for example.
She's done well with them.
Yeah.
But every now and then she won't hear one like I'll hear it. And because she needs to, she's an average listener that most people would be like, oh, like I like this song because of how it makes you feel. So I can get a more of a natural kind of response.
Yeah.
Because I think too musical a lot of times, right? Yeah. Well, this is not technically this, and this, but she can kind of be more simplified with it. But I've also created a snob now too, because we'll go somewhere and she'll hear somebody hit a wrong note. She's like, was that wrong? Where she never
that
heard
note
it before.
Was off.
Yeah, that was something. She don't know how to play, but she's like, that's something, right? And so that's kind of how we do things. And it's simple and it's not very, you know, flashy or whatever, but I'm not a flashy guy. Like that's not who we are.
Practice what you preach, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we go right around, we listen to my songs and try to pick out stuff that I'm going to record. And so that's something we do for fun, which is sounds very simple and probably dumb, but we just like to ride around together.
It's a great bridge to our Country Courts community. We have a community on WhatsApp. It has like 600 plus, Dutch and Belgian fans, country fans. They send us some questions for you. And Robbie wants to know, what kind of feeling do you want your listeners to have after they've listened to Somewhere in the South?
Robbie.
Is
that his name?
Yeah.
Robbie. whenever we wrote that song, I wanted an Alabama type feel. And so that's exactly what I've been sitting here talking about. I wanted that kind of feel to where you could roll your windows down and ride on a country road and be like, it bring like a calmness to you. But also, it's a nostalgia kind of song for me. It reminds me of growing up and stuff. So that's kind of what I wanted to bring to the listener. And I hope that they get from it was a good back road riding, easy listening song, but it also kind of maybe brings you back to growing up and in a simpler way and how we did it in the South. And that's how I'm raising my kids. And that's why they were in the little video and stuff. But to me, it's one of my new favorite songs because it brings me back. And it sounds like an old Alabama song. So.
Nice.
Cool.
Nice.
Herman wants to know, what is your dream collaboration?
Now, probably this, I mentioned her earlier, but Norah Jones.
That would be cool, I think.
I think so. I've been, you know, when I had record deal, all my stuff going on, they're like, who do you want to collaborate with? You know, and I think they were thinking Willie Nelson. Which would be cool. But probably Norah Jones.
Cool.
Yeah.
Final, Eric, he doesn't have a question, but a huge compliment to Larry because he saw you as an opener for Morgan Wallen at the Ziggo Dome, but he preferred Larry for 3 more hours. So
well,
it's a compliment.
You.
Yeah,
that's
Eric.
That nice. Was Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Eric. And honestly, I think when I opened for Morgan, I had like 40 minutes or something like that, and it was not long enough. Like I wanted to keep going because the crowd was into it.
Nice.
You know, like. When I 40 minutes, it takes me 40 minutes to get warmed up. You know what I mean?
Well, the clock strikes 38 minutes
hey,
now.
There you
so
go. See, hey, there you go. I'm just firing up. Yeah, yeah.
So you're ready to play your show. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
It takes some time to get warmed up. Yeah,
yeah, it does.
But I think before the manager gets all upset with us, it's time to wrap things up, I guess.
Yeah.
Do we have one final question?
We usually have one. Well, we always ask our guests that, your most country story ever. So maybe that's a nice thing to end things off. It shouldn't necessarily have to do something with music out there.
There he is.
We're finishing. He's looking for a towel.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it can be anything. But to end things off, what's your most country story ever? Well, you're from the countryside. You just told us that. But
my most country story.
What was her name on C2C last year? She was from Louisiana and she was frog hunting, Hallie Kearns.
She was frogging in Missouri.
That was her most country story.
We did that for fun a lot.
And the guys from Restless Road, they were doing the redneck Harry Potter with the excavator.
Put someone on a broomstick at an excavator and then turn them around.
I grew up country and like all that stuff is, you know, we frog gig, we hunt it, we rode dirt bikes and four wheelers and whatever. But I was telling the story the other day, and this is pretty country. My dad, he didn't listen to podcasts much, but if he happened to hear this or see something, he'd probably kill me. But we went deer hunting one time, and it was hot, and it was, you know, in the fall, it was starting to cool off, but it was still pretty warm. And so my brother, who's 4 years younger than me, at the time, I'm probably, you know, 14 or 15. So, you know, do the math. You know, he's 10 or 11, something like that. So he kind of sends my brother to a stand. I go to another stand. And my dad went to another one. Well, at dark, he was like, all right. We had little radios. Hey, guys, you know, let's leave. So we're starting to walk out. And we get to the truck. And I just noticed that he was missing one whole sleeve of his shirt. And I was like, what happened? He's like, my stomach got to hurting, and I had to go to the bathroom in the woods, and he just cut the sleeve off his shirt and used it as toilet paper. So I think that's pretty dangerous.
That's a pretty country story. That's right.
I mean, if you have to cut a sleeve off to wipe your butt, then, like, there you go. That's how we do it.
Nice.
So, yeah, that was – and we still laugh about it. We still talk about that and laugh and –
you're asking him sometimes, where did the sleeve go? Yeah.
Some people come
every
out
time
with,
he goes to the toilet. Yeah. Did you use your sleeve then?
Because you don't want to get poison ivy or something.
No,
you
know? No.
It's like, but yeah, he sometimes you come out missing a sock, you know, but a whole sleeve of a shirt was, you had to be doing something in there.
Yeah.
And, that was, they can go, I can go on for days with some country stories. That was just who we are.
Nice. That was a good one.
That kind of shows you. My dad's personality.
Very good. Larry, thank you very much for hanging out with us. We really appreciate your time. For now, this Country Courts episode has come to an end, and we always give our guests the final words.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. And hopefully, when I come back next time, we sell even more tickets. And my goal by being here is to keep coming back. And so we really enjoy it, and to see the fan base growing. If I could tell you one thing, my whole career has been word of mouth is how things have really spread. So if you hear this and you come to a show, tell a friend, and then get them to tell a friend. And then next time we show up, my goal is to sell out the arena that I play with Morgan. That's what I want to get to. So tell your friends and come out, and we'll have us a knee slapping, toe tapping country music of a good time. Okay, there you go.
Vond je deze aflevering van Country Courts leuk? Laat het dan weten. Dat kan via onze socials en in de Country Courts community op WhatsApp. Klik op de uitnodigingslink op countrycourts.nl en praat mee. Pas wel op, als je eenmaal Country Courts te pakken hebt, dan raak je het niet zomaar kwijt. Tot volgende keer.